Well, it's good to continue in our study through the Psalms, reminding us of some of the Psalms we've looked at in the past, but just again to go over them again. The devotion James did a little bit earlier on is in many ways a summary of the message today, James. So I'll just add to what you began already. We're looking at Psalm 100, and Psalm 100 is titled A Psalm for Thanksgiving. And it says this, it's a well-known psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, we all bring different things to church, don't we? When I was growing up, I always used to go and sit next to my gran, because you would know when you sat next to her, you would be getting sweets during the service. It was just one of those things. She always had a packet of sweets in her bag, and she would feed them to us right through the service. It was wonderful. Being a young child in a service like that. And, the question is, what do we have when we come to church? What do we bring to church? It's not so much what you've got in your pocket that's important. This psalm is asking what's in your heart when you come to church. And that's what I want us to be reminded of today. It's a psalm without an author ascribed to us. But it's a psalm, friends, that was, as it says, written specifically to give thanks to God. But I'm sure the psalmist wasn't only thinking about preparing the Israelites to go to the temple to worship, although obviously that was the original occasion for which the psalm was pointing to. I believe, friends, the psalm was looking beyond the temple, to the temple of God, to the ultimate place of worship. And the question is not so much what we're bringing to the temple or to the church, but what is our heart, how prepared is our heart, friends, to worship the millennial service we will have. One day we will enter eternity. We will gather with all the saints, friends, and we will come before the presence of God and come before him in worship and adoration and thanksgiving. And it's not like it's going to be one long church service, friends. I believe it's really the attitude of our hearts that's important in our entrance into eternity. So let's see what we need to do to bring in our hearts before God as we get ready to come to worship him. Well, the psalmist tells us, first of all, that we need to bring the right spirit. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with singing. There are three things we're reminded of as we bring the right spirit. First of all, friends, we need to bring a shouting spirit. Now, I'm not saying, of course, that we must shout as we know it. There is time and occasion for that, I think. I think sometimes we're far too conservative in our churches. There is an occasion. But what does he mean when he says, shout to the Lord, all the earth? Well, first of all, he tells us this. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Well, the word make there literally means to make music. So one of the attitudes that we need to come to God with is music in our hearts. Friend, is your heart full of joy? Is your heart full of music? Are we ready to come to sing our praise? There's something about worship, isn't there? There's something about singing which lifts us up, doesn't it? You just, you know, you may be feeling a little bit low, but just to turn on the music. On many a Sunday morning, not always, sometimes we switch the radio on, and by the time we come to church, we're feeling a little bit depressed because the radio has just brought us bad news. But very oftentimes, the first thing I do when I go and make coffee for us on a Sunday morning is stick on a CD of Christian music, just to have it playing in the background there. And we sing along with it and we listen to it as we're preparing ourselves to come to church, friends, so that when we get to church, there's music in our heart already. We need, friends, to make music. Then we need to make not only any music, but joyful music. Friends, there needs to be a confession of our faith. The word joyful literally means to celebrate the goodness of who God is. And you know, oftentimes when you come across a church service, you wonder whether God even exists in that church service. Friends, we need to come always. And then it says, come with a noise or a shout. It literally means to come with a ringing cry. The world must know we are Christians. They must know who we are. I understand in times gone by, there used to be a speaker out the front here, and used to play music on the Sunday morning. Well, thieves have kind of robbed us of that opportunity these days, because all the wiring and everything has been stolen. But the reality is, if you go to any Muslim country, friends, you are drowned out at least 5 times a day with a call to worship. Even in our own town, we hear that call. Even right up on the mountain where we are, sometimes we can hear the tones of the call to worship from the Muslim mosque down in town here. But friends, do people know who we are? Surely we should be shouting out. What is put together, friends, it's reminding us that the psalm is calling us to raise an anthem of praise to God. Why should we raise an anthem of praise to God, friends? We should raise an anthem of praise to God, friends, because we, of all people, have reason to give thanks. Listen to David in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. Friend, Jesus has given us a new song. He's taken us out of the mud, taken out of the slimy pit, and he's filled our hearts with joy, and we should have no fear at all in having a shouting spirit. But not only must we have a shouting spirit, we are told also we need to have a serving spirit. Worship the Lord, it tells us. The word worship literally means to serve, to be in bondage to bow the knee to. Why should we be willing to serve, friends? We should be willing to serve simply because we are not our own anymore. We belong to God. We don't have a choice as to whether we should be serving. 1 Corinthians reminds us, it says, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, we need to honor God with our bodies. Service should not be something that is difficult for us. You know, Patricia often sends out requests for people to say, well, are you willing to serve? Serve God in one way or another. But sometimes there's so few responses to that, friends. Patricia should be in the place that when she sends out a request, she should be overwhelmed with responses. That should be our response. The word with gladness comes from the old word of full of mirth. Mirth is not a negative word, it's a positive word, friends. We should serve with gladness, with absolute abandon. The word literally means to serve with wide-eyed and a big grin. Do people see you smiling when you talk about Jesus? Does he fill your heart in such a way that you serve him with joy in your heart? Sometimes serving isn't easy, friends, but people must be able to see Christ in us and see the joy of Christ in us. And then it says to serve with a singing spirit. Shout for joy. Sing words of praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Friends, if the first two verses remind us that the reason why we should give thanks to God, friends, the third part of that verse tells us how we should do that with joy in our hearts. One day we're going to see him face to face. Are we going to be glad to see him? Is he going to be glad to see us? Friends, I trust that we're ready to run into his arms with joy in our hearts. The world around us will know that we are Christians. So first of all, we must come prepared with the right spirit. But secondly, we must come with the right submission. Are we ready to surrender everything to God? This is what it says in verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the first thing we must do, friends, when we come to God or come to church, we must surrender to the person of who God is. Know that he is the Lord. He, the Lord, is God. Sometimes, you know, I wonder whether we grasp that about who God is. Do we really understand who God is? You know, if we fully understood who God is, friends, I don't think there would be any problem with coming to church with the right attitude. You know, the sad reality is, us as humans, we are so bent towards doing that which is evil, doing that which is opposed to the purposes of God, that we forget that God is Lord. If you just think of the Israelites, even though God had just saved them from the Egyptians, brought them through the Red Sea, given them food, when Moses went up to the mountain to hear and collect from God the Ten Commandments, by the time he was up there and the time he came back, and it's not even as if, friends, while he was up there, people could forget about the fact that Moses was meeting with God. Because while Moses was on the mountain, friends, there was evidence of the presence of God on that mountain in every single way. Yet by the time Moses came down after having collected the Ten Commandments, there were the Israelites building a little golden calf to worship. I wonder whether we are the same. Even although we've got all the evidence, friends, we need that God is the Lord, the Lord is God, still we take our eyes off that. We focus on other things, and we make other things our gods, and we worship those. How do we know we're worshiping them, friends? We know we're worshiping them because we're giving them our time, we're giving them our effort, we're giving them our attention, we're giving to them, friends, more than we're willing to give to surrender to God. Secondly, friends, not only must we surrender to the person of God, but we must surrender to the purposes of God. The psalmist reminds us, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made you, and you are His. Friend, God made you. There is nothing that you have, or nothing that you are, that did not come from God. Your very existence, the very breath that you have, friends, every single morning should remind us that God has a purpose in our lives. We were reminded that on Wednesday night in our Bible study. Nothing happens, friends, without God having a plan and a purpose in that which may be happening to you at that point in time. And we should always focus on that reality. We should submit to God's purposes. We should be daily asking Him, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. That's why that passage of scripture that I've adopted as my theme text, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Friends, daily we need to ask that question, are we seeking the purposes of God? And the third thing we must, friends, submit to is we submit to the promises of God. The verse 3 ends and says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Friends, in that is a wonderful promise. If you look through the scriptures, and Pumla even read that well-known passage, it's as if the Lord's got a message for us today, isn't it? I mean, James read a psalm that basically says what I'm saying here this morning. Pumla read a psalm that adds to the message. God's reminding us, friends, this morning that He is our shepherd. As I remind you of that message I preached on Psalm 23 a little while ago, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing that I lack. Friends, what a wonderful promise that is. When God is your shepherd, there is nothing else you need in this life other than Him. And that's why this point is so important for us. We must submit, friends, to the promise of God. He promises, friends, to lead us and guide us. He promises to be with us through those deep waters. He promises to put before us a table. Friends, He promises that He is with us in every single way. What a great encouragement when we come to the worship, when we come to church, when we go to eternity, friends, we will receive the great promise of eternal life. What a great encouragement that is for us. And then thirdly, not only must we bring the right spirit and the right submission, but we must also bring the right sacrifice. People often ask me, you know, we are working for crowns, aren't we? God's giving us crowns. I will give you the crown of life. I'll give you this particular crown and that particular crown. And we're often, you know, people often wonder, why are we given these crowns? You know why we're given crowns? For one simple reason, friend, that you may lay them before Christ in eternity. That's the only reason why we work for God. It's the only reason why we want to build up credit in heaven. Bank in heaven, the parables tell us. Don't bank on earth here. Bank in the heavenly bank account. Why? Because, friends, when you get to heaven, the only thing you can bring to lay before the throne of God are the crowns that He has given you to take with you. Friends, when you come before the presence of God, you need to come with the right sacrifice. The psalm reminds us, friends, enter His gates with thanksgiving in His court. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As we enter His gate, friends, I want you to picture the temple in Jerusalem. As people enter into His gates, the first thing they would encounter was a big bowl of water. And there they would ceremonially clean themselves. Then they would find a big fire. And there they would offer their sacrifices. And you had to make sure that you were bringing the right sacrifice to God. Now, the wonderful thing for us, friends, is that Christ has offered that final sacrifice. We don't need to bring the blood of goats and bulls any longer, because all we need to do is come before God with what we have done with Jesus. And then we're invited not only to enter the gates, friends, we're invited to go into the courts. Because you see, friends, the court, the curtain that separated us from the inner court has been torn apart. We may enter into the very holy of holies. We may enter into the presence of God Himself. So what should we bring before God? Friends, we bring before God our praises of His goodness. That simple little word, for the Lord is good. Friends, what a wonderful word to describe God. There is no evil in Him at all. And when we come before Him, friends, we're reminded of that. What a great joy. We bring our sacrifice of God's grace. Friends, God's mercy has been good to us. We can't come to Him claiming a merit of our own, friends. When we come before God, we come before Him claiming the grace and the mercy of God. That's what we bring as our sacrifice. And we come before God, friends, because He has promised us entrance into eternity. It says His faithfulness continues to all generations. What a great privilege we have of entering in to the presence of God. Are you ready to go to heaven? Are you ready for that eternal service? Friends, the question that I want to leave with us today, we're all ready to go to heaven, but are we ready to serve Him on earth? Because this is where we're at the moment, friends. This is where God wants us at the moment. God wants our praise. Wants our hearts that are ready to worship. Wants our sacrifice. Wants our surrender. When we give that to Jesus, when we give ourselves wholeheartedly to Him, friends, entering into eternity is not a fear for us. Entering into eternity is just like going from one room to another. There's no fear in going from one room to another. There's just a door between the two of them. As we get ready now, as we prepare ourselves to worship now, one day we'll enter eternity. If we've got the right spirit, if we bring the right service and we bring the right sacrifice, are we ready? Give thanks to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have the means and the mechanism of truly giving thanks to you. Our thankfulness doesn't belong or doesn't come out of our own merit, Lord. Our thankfulness and our sacrifices that we have to bring doesn't come from our own efforts. The sacrifices, the spirit, the service we bring, Lord, come out of what you have done for us. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Help us, Lord, to reflect your goodness in this world so that others too may be drawn to you and what you have done for this world. Fill our hearts with your joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.